B-Pod Studios.
I'm not going to do that thing, Trey. I'm not going to do that thing that we talked about, which is I completely overreact to two very nice wins over the weekend. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to overreact. But the Sixers are going to the finals, baby!
I think so, too.
The Sixers are going to the finals!
There's no way to overreact. I mean, you know, these guys right now are playing excellent basketball.
I am giddy. I am overwhelmed with joy. Watching the game Friday night, I had something going on Friday night, right? So I had to tape the game and I had to watch it later. And oh my good, I actually did a great job. I turned notifications off on my phone. I didn't even look at Twitter. I barely looked at Twitter. And then I watched the game Saturday morning. And oh my goodness gracious, was it incredible. It was absolutely incredible. And then yesterday afternoon, 3:30 tip off, with the Lake show, right? Mm-hmm. And they just took it to them. First off, defense optional for the first couple of quarters.
Oh, yeah.
Totally optional. And I love the cut of Brett Brown meeting with the guys, you know, having the side thing. And he goes, as soon as we play defense, we can get out of here. Like, as soon as we man up, we can get the heck out of here. And sure enough, they played a little bit of defense, and that was all they needed. But 143 points scored by the 76ers yesterday. Tobias Harris is nothing short of a godsend. It feels like it's a very rare thing that in sports, as a fan base, it's pretty unanimous as to what you wanted the 76ers to do at the deadline. And I feel like everybody wanted them to go get that power forward because they watched Wilson Chandler and they looked at him and they're like, all right, this guy, he needs some oil or something. Like, you need to get this guy an energy bar or something. Not that I think he ever lacked effort or anything. It just wasn't there for him. So they got rid of him. They bring in a power forward that can shoot threes, that can get rebounds, that can score in the paint as well, obviously. And it's exactly what this team needed to round out their starting five. And the bench players that they got, you know, not too bad. That's not terrible by any means. TJ McConnell hit a three yesterday, so you hope that he continues to take steps forward in his NBA career. Joel Embiid, an MVP candidate, we know that. Ben Simmons shooting a three yesterday. This team continues to just build. It was incredible yesterday. Watching them just dominate. I can't. Like, you look at a team score, 143 points in that game. And everybody getting involved. It wasn't just 37 from Joel Embiid. It was everybody getting involved in the game yesterday. And I can't remember a time, even last year. It was good, but he didn't have high expectations because it was still a very young team. And, you know, they were going to go up against a team like the Celtics that were playing some great basketball. But, man, I can't remember a time where I watched the 76ers play like this and I just thought, wow, finals. Like not even a question. I feel like they got the Boston tomorrow. Right.
Yeah.
Kyrie Irving still battling a knee issue. You have all these things going wrong for Boston, and right now you're looking at the Sixers and you're going, tell me why they can't make the finals.
I'll tell you, the feeling that I got this weekend, and there's a few people out there that can relate to what I'm going to say, but when Moses Malone joined the Sixers in 83, there was that, all right, how is this going to work? Because you had Doc. You had superstars. Mm-hmm. You had Doc. You had Andrew Toney. You had guys who could score that loved to shoot, and it was the first game. You're like, oh, that way. Oh, like he's going to grab every rebound and just put it back. Or, oh, you just feed him down low and he scores that easy. Oh, okay, this is cool. Well, I'm telling you, Mark, I swear to God, after watching Friday and watching yesterday, I have that same feeling. Like, oh, wow. Tobias Harris, yeah, he can fit right in. Not comparing Tobias Harris to Moses Malone by any means. But the firepower is similar to this group than it was in 83. And, you know, yesterday, you look at it. Here's their starters. 10 shots, 14 shots, 16 shots, 13 shots, 13 shots. That's perfect distribution. Four of the five starters, Ben Simmons shot 3-for-13. The other four shot 35-for-53, 66%. Like, they're, and it's coming organically. Like, this is a offensive team, the likes I haven't seen since 83.
This shouldn't be a headline because in the NBA you just don't practice anymore. That just didn't happen. But those guys stepped on the court having never played together, and they rolled. Like, they just looked like a team that had been playing together for 10 years already.
They had 7 turnovers yesterday. That's it. Right. 7. And they've played 30 minutes together. It's crazy.
I can't get over it. And to go along with what you were saying, I didn't think about Moses because I didn't get to experience that. Right. But Trey, when T.O. came to the Eagles, It was like exactly what the doctor ordered.
Yeah.
Immediate impact.
Uh-huh.
On the same page from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
When the Phillies got Cliff Lee at the deadline, it was like, oh, this is what they needed, absolutely, in 09, and they made it to the World Series. When you watch the Sixers this year, this is exactly what they needed.
Yeah.
I mean, they had an inconsistent bench that gave you some flashes, but you knew there was one consistent problem, and it was at the power forward position. And now you got a guy out there, Tobias Harris, who's a fun-loving guy who seemed like he needed to rediscover some kind of love for basketball. We'll let you hear what that means in a couple of minutes, because what he got into after the game Friday night was nothing short of a beginning of a love fest with Philadelphia. We'll get into that. But there is, unfortunately, as there seems to always be, whenever we get nice things, Trey,
mm-hmm.
there's a snake in the grass.
Of course.
There is somebody. Mm-hmm. There's a lion that sees an antelope in the distance. And he's in the weeds. And he's crawling, right? And he sees it. And he's going to pounce on it. And that lion's name, that snake's name, is Irvin Magic Johnson.
Okay, wait. Now, this, according to the story, Ben Simmons reached out to Magic.
I don't care.
That's what a colluder would say.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
but according to the story,
uh-huh.
Ben reached out to him to see if he could get some help.
Mm. Oh, really?
I'm just saying.
That's great.
And that's great that Ben wants that, but no.
Yeah, I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, it, according to the story.
Well, you know what? Facts are interesting, Trey, but I choose to ignore them.
Okay.
But in all seriousness, I don't need Magic Johnson sticking his nose in Ben Simmons' business. If Ben Simmons wants to learn about Magic Johnson, there's NBA TV, like, classic thing that they roll. Watch YouTube highlights. Whatever it is. That's how you learn about Magic Johnson. And if they are going to meet up, I would like to say right now, at 6:07 this beautiful Monday morning,
not 6:00 Sanchez.
No, yeah, right. Be careful driving, by the way, folks. A little dangerous out there. I'm going to say right now at 6:07 in the morning on this Monday morning, February 11th, I would like to volunteer as the chaperone of that meetup.
Okay.
My grandparents went on their first date. Guess what? They had a chaperone, my Aunt Angie. She went, and you know what? You know all that ever said? All they ever said. My grandfather said to my grandmother, "Do you want some gum?" Do you know why that's the only thing he said? Because it's the only thing he knew how to say in English. And the other reason is because he didn't want to overstep his bounds in front of a chaperone.
He was about to kiss her.
Yeah. So he wanted to freshen up a little bit.
I doubt that. I doubt that. Well, then he was offering it to her. I never thought about that. Maybe my grandmother had severe halitosis.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. As I dig into it now.
Does Magic Johnson have halitosis?
But I...
Don't worry. That meeting is not going to happen.
Okay.
The league has to shoot this down.
Okay. They have to shut this down, but will they actually shoot it down? Because here's the thing. It's going to happen anyway, in some way, shape, or form. The tampering is like the wink and the smile and the handshake behind the, you know, whatever, the backdoor thing. It's backstage. The tampering is something that they think they can control, but it happens anyway.
Yeah, but it can't be this blatant. I mean, LeBron and Magic are both just like kind of kicking at, you know, the doors a little bit, saying, I'm going to do this. You got anything to say? Got anything to say? Kick it open a little more. At some point, the NBA just says, Magic, like, stop.
Here's if there's no chaperone, here's what I want to happen. I need there to be, an email exchange. All the emails are read by the Sixers first and then reported to Ben Simmons. And then all the replies are through the Sixers to the Lakers and then to Magic Johnson. Like, no direct communication.
What is the purpose of this? I mean, in this day and age, when you have all the film and everything is right there at your fingertips, why does he feel that he has to go see Magic Johnson?
No idea. Nothing you can't learn from a tape. Look what Joel Embiid did with Hakeem Olajuwon. He watched tape and he imitated him.
Yeah.
That's all.
Look how he learned to shoot. He YouTubed white people shooting. Like, come on. It's not that hard, people. Basketball's an easy sport.
There's other big guards you can learn from.
Exactly.
Get out of here.
Like, Chris Paul's 7 foot, right? You can talk to Chris Paul.
Jason Kidd's like 6'4" or something. That's close enough.
I think he's 7'1".
Oscar Robertson, is he still alive?
I think he is.
He's fairly big.
Bob?
I don't know.
Anything prior to 1980, we ask Bob.
Yeah. Oscar? Is Oscar Robertson still alive?
Yeah, he's 80 years old.
All right. Bring him in.
He's doing fine.
You can go learn from Oscar.
Come on now. You're going to go after those triple-doubles, aren't you?
Stay away from Magic. Anthony Hardaway? He's coaching Memphis. Go learn from him.
By the way, have you seen Eric Snow lately?
Oh, boy.
Holy shnikes.
Eric Avalanche? On Twitter? Yeah, Eric, that's right. What? He's not Snow anymore. He's Avalanche.
Yeah, Eric Avalanche. Yeah. I saw that.
All right, we'll get into all this stuff today. Now, we do have our Twitter poll.
Some cardio tonight.
I'm going to the gym today.
Yeah. Keeping me awoke. Let's get our Twitter poll question brought to you by Window Nation. It's based on this Magic Johnson fiasco. Sam, what's it looking like?
This morning we asked, should the NBA approve Ben Simmons and Magic Johnson to meet? We have just under 400 votes so far. 36% say no, and the other 64% say no.
There we go. And what are our two options?
No and no.
Thank you very much, Sam Wilson. That's right. There, Trey. We're getting involved in that way. Yeah. I seriously would like to be the chaperone. I feel like there should be a chaperone. I feel like there should be representation there from the Sixers. Even after they approve it, or they don't approve it, but if they do, because how do you stop it? You would rather...
There's no way you can stop it.
Exactly. So wouldn't you rather...
Like, you'd rather control it,
You'd rather control
it.
Hmm.
Maybe you should be the chaperone. No one's messing with you. People ignore me.
Yeah. There's no way you're going to be able to stop this. I guess the chaperone would be...
Kendall will be the chaperone.
Yeah, Kendall.
Kendall was there last night.
Yeah. 14-2.
By the way, big controversy.
14-2.
Big controversy, by the way, over her attendance last night. She was a little tardy.
Ooh, really?
She was a little tardy coming out of that the halftime break.
I did notice that.
You noticed that?
Yeah.
I rewound it to watch it.
It was like a good 2-3 minutes.
God, you guys really notice these things during the game?
Bob, we like to go to the full extent when breaking this stuff down.
Yes, people need to know.
I saw on her Insta story, though, she was on a flight like 12 hours ago, so maybe she was prepping for that. So dedication that she was crunching her flight time.
She was doing some modeling thing in New York on Saturday. I fully stalked it out.
I didn't go that far.
Yeah.
But we'll break it down, not just Kendall Jenner.
Yeah, what are we breaking
we'll
down?
We'll break down...
Nail polish?
Basically how this all comes together. And we're going to look at the schedule for their upcoming games and the schedule that the Sixers have against the quality opponents. When you look at the top three teams in the Eastern Conference, we know they're done with the Raptors. But now you got to look at the Celtics and you got to look at the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll go from there. We'll also talk a little bit about a little experience over the weekend at a... Went to a comedy show, went to see Jim Gaffigan. He was phenomenal. But what do you do when people in the audience are completely obnoxious? We'll talk about that in a second.
You keep having this problem.
I do. I keep having this problem. Because I respect a performer.
There's one common denominator, isn't there, Trey?
Yeah.
It's me calling out the BS from people that aren't respectful of those on stage, Bob. Then, listen, Alicia Keys is probably the most talented human being on the planet. If you didn't see her last night at the Grammys, and I love her, okay? I love her. And my wife is well aware that I love her.
She was once on my five.
She was once on your top five?
Yeah. Well, you know, the five.
List?
Yeah, the list.
Of course, yes.
Yeah, I had Alicia Keys on there at one point.
You have a list of five?
Yeah, it's an ever-evolving list.
I feel like one is okay, but...
Well, I mean, do you think I actually have a chance with Alicia Keys? It's not like it's actually realistic.
Alicia Keys with a chaperone.
I could make up 40 of these. I have no shot with any of them.
You know, my wife started telling me her list, and then you know what killed it? I rattled off mine, and then she goes, okay, we don't have lists. Oh, we got lists, babe. We got lists. 610-632-0975. Talk some 76ers coming up in a little bit. Also, Will Smith as the genie. Little teaser video got released last night, and we'll talk about that. A booby-trapped house that Sam found. Scary. With a Philadelphia tie and some other of our favorite athletes. Two sitting with each other last night at the game that maybe after certain stories have come out over the last 6 months, you wouldn't expect these two to be sitting next to each other at a Sixers game. 610-632-0975. Main thing, do you believe right now the 76ers are going to the finals? 6 o'clock hour brought to you by Bay Management Group, your premier property management company specializing in multifamily and single family rental properties. Visit baymgmtgroup.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
On the line with us right now, the coach from NBC Sports Philadelphia pre- and post-game shows for the Sixers, Jim Lynham. Good morning, coach.
What's up, fellas?
Hey, it's great to have you on.
Jimmy?
Hey, Jimmy, first out of the gate, your impression, first two games, Sixers playing with Tobias Harris in the starting lineup. I don't know about you, but to me it looks like they've been playing together for a lot more than two games.
Yeah, I'd have to say maybe that was the most impressive thing over the first two, the way they just seemed to mesh so well. And you talk about put points on the board yesterday. I mean, they manhandled the Lakers 140-plus. So I do think, like, when you just take a step back and just try to simplify that, they do have a potential here to be an offensive juggernaut. I mean, they have a lot of ways where they really put pressure on a defense.
Yeah, second most points they've scored in a game this season, and they do it in their second game with Tobias Harris in the lineup. The most they scored was 149 against the Timberwolves back on January 15th. But, Coach, how much of this do you attribute to Brett Brown, and how much do you attribute this to just talented guys kind of having a knack to play for one another?
Well, I think it's a combination of those two, Mark, that you know, the style that the Sixers employ, it's a very free-flowing type of basketball. A lot of player movement and guys with high basketball IQs who have, like, a broad, well-rounded kind of skill set. You know, the one thing I think you can say right from the point guard Ben Simmons to the center Joel Embiid, these guys are skilled basketball players. And I think those level players, they like playing in a style and a system like this. Brett said, I don't know if you saw any of his pregame thoughts, but he was saying that I guess he was addressing the fact of implementing new talent onto a team. And he said he has no desire to be a leader, like give something here for Bob, give something here for Mark. That's your turn now, Trey. He doesn't want to call a game like that. Mm-hmm. He wants to let the game flow. And that's what you're seeing unfold, you know, in front of your eyes.
Yeah, I saw that. I thought it was a great analogy. And he was breaking it down like that to make sure that everyone got their shots. He's like, that's not how you coach. And more importantly, that's not how you play. So then from a player's perspective, a guy like Ben Simmons, I assume, would take even more of a facilitator role, though, because as a point guard, he wants to get everybody involved so no one feels like they're taking plays off.
Yeah, but I think that's a good point. And I heard your kind of last caller as I was waiting to go on the line. Yes, but Ben doesn't have to hunt shots. And maybe he was doing a little of that by circumstance at the top of the game yesterday. But what he has to do, he has to put pressure on the defense right from the outset. That's one of the things that the Sixers do, in my opinion, better than anybody in the NBA. They initially put tremendous pressure on you by not only bringing it at your very, very quickly down the floor, but in the person of the ball in Simmons' hands. And sometimes that'll lead to him getting into the lane and taking shots early in a game. So be it. But it is really incumbent on him that he pressures the defense constantly from the backcourt.
Jimmy, are we too worried about the Sixers bench and what they have there? Because I'm of the feeling that with this firepower you have in the starting five, you can always drift back a couple of those guys to go with some of the second unit guys, and that'll help it out immediately.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point, Bob. And I would have said, if you'd asked that question before Elton Brand waved his magic wand, yes, if you compared this bench, let's say, to the Celtic bench or Toronto's bench, I think it would have been an issue. But based on what you just said, number one, and also the influx of new talent, you know, you have some really athletic guys that, you know, maybe not as high profile as a Tobias Harris, but, you know, Mike Scott, this guy's a very good player. He shoots a high percentage. And the one thing the Sixers have really been consistent with from day one, people out on the wings, they do, ideally, they strive to get long, athletic guys who can make three-point shots. That's a good formula to have come playoff time when you're looking at wing players.
With all the moves that Elton Brand made during this year, do you think that put him in position for GM of the year?
Well, we'll have to see how it plays out, Frank. But for me, I sent out the text on the weekend, and you know, I've watched this league a long time. A lot of activity, and not just sometimes, you know, teams can do things, you know, just for different reasons. I'll say it that way. But these were like productive moves that really addressed. I mean, essentially, what Elton has done, he's turned Dario Saric and Covington into Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris, and at the same time, dramatically improved his bench. I mean, that's a pretty strong statement.
Coach, what are you making of all this? We're speaking with Jim Lynham. What do you make of all this talk about the collusion between Ben Simmons and Magic Johnson and the idea that Ben Simmons wants to go work out with Magic? If you were Brett Brown or you were Elton Brand, would you approve something like that for those two to get together?
I just saw yesterday for the first time. That would be a conversation I'd have down the line, to be honest with you. But if I were either Brett or Elton, you know, obviously I'd kind of like be curious of where Ben was coming from. If in fact, you know, it was actually a plan. My guess is it was probably casual conversation, you know, because of the fact Magic being one of the, you know, great point guards of all time and unique in that he was a 6'9 guy doing it. Sometimes these things happen by accident. And there's really not a great deal of substance to them.
Yeah, I would move that there would at least be a chaperone involved if the two meet. Would you be for a chaperone, Coach?
No, if you're referring to the idea of some kind of collusion and future Magic plan, believe me, the issue of whether they're going to work together on the basketball court or not would be way, way, way secondary as to whether Ben ever had a future interest in that. Heading to the left coast.
That's what I thought.
Jimmy, we saw interesting defense against the Sixers last year in the playoffs by both Miami and Boston. Sagging defense, trying to take Ben Simmons' penetration away. My question to you is, now what Elton has built, does that negate what team, if teams can do that anymore? Could Miami go in and just sink down off of Simmons? Or is that negated now because of what Elton's built?
Well, I would say that no, it does not. Now, again, how successfully? Teams will certainly try and do that. I think it's suicidal to try and run up and down with this team. And ever since Brett's been here, you know, the pace that they play at has been one of the first goals. And they're really, from day one, they've been one of the fastest playing teams. They make a lot of passes. They race the ball at you. Brett used the phrase fourth quarter when he was interviewed in game, he said it was like a video game out there. And I don't think you can expect that they'll be able to play at that pace in the playoffs. I don't think the other teams are going to cooperate to that degree.
Coach, would you look at how this team has started to come together over these first two games? Have you seen really, I guess I'll go to the front office here, but have you seen a front office like this with Elton Brand, with such little experience, be able to put together a team that, again, just looks like they have that experience together already, despite it only being two games? Because I can't remember too many GMs, especially in Sixers history, that have been able to put something together that worked this well right away.
Yeah, well, I would say that you're probably looking, you know, I'm not in the office or in the meetings, but I think you're looking at the corroboration of a lot of really, sharp people. I know a lot of the people that Elton works with in the front office, you know, they're very, very bright basketball people. And I think you have a terrific relationship between the front office and the basketball staff. You've heard Brett mention that when the Sixers won the West Coast trip, he was spending a lot of time, the head coach, while he was out there coaching the games with Elton and his guys, you know, kind of communicating in the event that something along the lines that we saw was going to take place. So I think when you have that kind of a relationship from top to bottom, you know, management, ownership, David Blitzer and Josh Harris on board, that they're ready to go to open the purse strings for these guys. You know, that's when things like this unfold, and what you're watching on the court, you say, wow, this sure seems like this Tobias Harris is fitting in real good. Well, let me tell you, there's a lot of forethought that goes into things like that when it unfolds in the manner that you're watching.
Jimmy, as seamless as these transactions seem to have been so far, is there anything that has concerned you in these first two games? I mean, a lot of people bring up Jimmy Butler maybe not getting enough looks, whatever it may be. To me, it looks like he's passing up on some looks just playing a team game. But there's anything that you noticed maybe on the non-positive side?
No, I can't say that, Bob. But again, let's be a little patient here. It's a short stretch that we watched, a small random sample, let's say. You know, there'll be a couple of pitfalls, obviously, over these last, 26 games remaining. But it's, that's kind of secondary to me. So what this is about now, it's like a 26-game dress rehearsal for the real deal that's going to start in mid-April. That's where this team, the mindset's going to be. They're going to be in preparation for, like, ready to go when that starts.
When you talk about that real deal, Coach, do you expect the Sixers, as they are right now, before anything with the buyout market, but as they are constructed right now, are you expecting them to be the team to beat in the Eastern Conference?
Well, when you say expect, I mean, I think there's three right now. I think the Celtics I've never been quite as big a fan. I'm not trying to say that in a disparaging sense, but even last year, I'm not quite as on the bandwagon as the rest of the world with the Celtics. But I do think that the Milwaukee Bucks and Toronto Raptors, both of whom also improved at the trade deadline, I think they are very, very formidable opponents. Both have a better record than the Sixers right now. Milwaukee may have like a 5 or 6 game lead in the loss column. So picture that. Knowing how well the Sixers have played, Milwaukee is like 6 games better in the loss column. So those two teams, you know, they're not going to go away easily. It's not my phrase, but somebody used the thought bloodbath come playoff time.
Yeah.
I think that's what you're looking at.
Tom Haberstroh, I believe NBC, when you were on with us, I think it was last Thursday, brought that up.
Exactly.
It is going to be a bloodbath. It'll be interesting to see how the final couple months or really couple weeks of the season shape up after the All-Star break with Milwaukee. Toronto, they're done with, and then they have the Celtics, of course, coming in tomorrow, and then they have another matchup later in the season coming up against those Celtics as well. Coach Jim Lynham, always great talking to you. Thanks for coming on with us.
Likewise, guys. My pleasure.
So here's Ben Simmons explaining his mindset when he tossed that out to the media.
Definitely. You know, trying to learn from somebody like that would be huge. Yeah, he speaks to, you know, he's been in multiple situations where he had to play the five and won a championship and just a Hall of Famer and one of those guys that, you know, in terms of what position I'm in, you know, 6'10 point guard, I think he can help.
You intend to ask the Sixers?
I mean, I'm not focused on that right now. You know, I'm focused on my team and what's going on, so maybe another time.
Any other time I hear about a young guy for a team I root for that wants to meet with one of the greatest ever that played his position and similar strategies and whatever styles of play, I applaud it. I think it's fantastic. But when it's known colluder, Magic Johnson.
Yeah.
I volunteer my services as a chaperone to get involved and make sure there's no hanky-panky of the basketball world going on when they meet. When they get together, I make sure nothing else is being discussed other than playing the point guard position. And in this case, it would most likely be Brett slapping Magic Johnson on the wrist saying, don't you say that.
No, I could see you sitting there, Magic on one side, Ben on the other. You're eating like Chinese food or something like that. And all of a sudden, Magic will say something like, boy, what a great day we had today in L.A. It was 80. And you go, no. And Magic has to stop and brings it back to, well, in 1985, I was doing this. And did I ever tell you about the beach?
Nope. Did I ever tell you about the time I was late to the NBA Finals because the traffic on the 405 is awful?
And you would, and then you'd be like, I'll let that one go.
Yeah, that one's fine.
Go on. That's what I would
say. The smog, you know, I was congested for the first 2 years I was out here because of the smog.
Everything else.
The high taxes.
Highest in the country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why they think Mike Trout could come to Philadelphia.
Yeah. Oh, he was there yesterday.
Oh, that's right. He was here.
It was a star-studded affair yesterday.
It was.
Oh, yeah, everybody was there.
I teased this earlier. They got Carson Wentz and Alshon Jeffrey sitting next to each other.
That was big.
Yeah.
Considering Alshon's the one that most likely talked to Josina Anderson, that was good to see.
So did they talk about it on the way to the game? Like, look, man, you know.
I totally timed you out, bro. Sorry.
You hurt my feelings. You
know. I just wanted the ball.
I had to go buy a dog. name him Riggs.
And I got Riggs, you know.
I wonder if the Sixers set that up. As like, did they invite them to the game or did they go on their own accord?
I don't know.
That'd be an interesting thing, right?
I think the teams have an open door policy. Like Brett, you know, I know he would practice. When I was covering, they would have their practices on Sundays early on Eagles home games because they were lucky enough to get invited over to the game.
Oh, that is just beautiful.
Yeah, so
I'm sure they save like 4 court sides for Eagles at any given moment.
Yeah, I would assume.
Yeah, I would think so. There's always an Eagle in the house.
Well, how do we know that they call? Like, do we think that Carson and Alshon texted each other, say, let's go to the game together? Or do we think they both just went to the game?
No, I think they went together.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm thinking that's something that you're going to do together. You know, it's not.
I'm thinking it's more fun to think that's not the case.
No, they probably did, of course, coordinated it.
Yeah, but yeah. I'm just saying, I want to be in the room when it's Magic Johnson and Ben Simmons and they're colluding. And I want to be the guy, I want to be the chaperone that's like, don't forget to leave room for the Holy Ghost. Like, I like that.
I want to make sure
that I police that.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least maybe JoJo's. Joel Embiid would probably be the best person to have in that room. Because, you know, he would take over the conversation and then just start to tease Magic.
I hope y'all keep trusting the process.
He would be the guy just to be like, yeah, go ahead. He would, like, lead him on. Mm-hmm. And then he'd be like, oh, no, not for you.
Like, Ben's mine.
Yeah, exactly. He's all
for
you.
That probably sucks.
610-632-0975. We got Keith. We got open line. 610-632-0975. Coming up, let you hear from Brett Brown about the situation that the Sixers are in right now. Right now, the situation they're in and the pressure it brings to him as a head coach.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.